The Apostle Paul wore a badge that indicated that he was a true servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find that he says here himself that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And so in verse 17 of Galatians 6, we read in the second part of the verse, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I wonder, having read those few words, is there anything about us in our lives that marks us out as belonging to Jesus Christ and identifies us along with him? When Paul said this, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, was he boasting? Well, no, he wasn't, and we will know full well that he wasn't doing that. What he was doing was going around again for the umpteenth time in the book of Galatians, I guess, and vindicating his ministry. Whenever we started off our series on Galatians, never quite finished it, must get back to it sometime pretty soon, we learned then that the Jewish leaders of the day were going about and they were working their way through the Galatian Christians and they were saying, you know that man that you have such store set by, that preacher that you listen to intently, that you try to put into practice all of the teachings that he brings to you, the Apostle Paul. Well, you know something? Let's put you right in this. He isn't really a bona fide apostle at all. He's not an apostle because he has not known Jesus Christ in the days of his flesh. He doesn't fit into the school of Peter and James and John, who demonstrably went around with Jesus during the days of his ministry. Paul was born years after them. What Paul did here was contrast himself with these Judaizing false brethren, and he asked here, have they the marks of the Lord Jesus upon them? No, they haven't, but I have. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. All they're interested in, he was saying, was the Jewish rite of circumcision. I am thinking along the lines of crucifixion with Christ. What is the proof of our attachment to Jesus Christ? Is the proof of our attachment to him the words we speak? Well, not principally. Because we can always speak well, and yet that speech may not be a reflection of our heart or a template that our life is being lived by. There should be some distinctive marks about our lives that identify us as Christians. Now we'll take, first of all, the literal explanation of the apostle's statement here. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, Galatians 6 and the verse 17, when Paul wrote that, what did he mean? Paul had in mind, no doubt, the common custom of those days, that of branding certain people with a hot, searing iron. For example, the sleeves were taken away and they were branded as a mark of ownership. They got a double brand if they ran off. Away from the job, away from the house and the vicinity of their master. And if they were recaptured and brought back to the master, they would be branded again. And this time, it was a mark of shame and a mark of ignominy. Soldiers back then were often branded as a mark of their allegiance to a particular general. Armies in former days often had the crest of their favorite general tattooed upon the individual soldier's arm. And religious devotees would frequently be branded by their priests in a heathen temple, and that to them was a mark of devotion and a mark of fidelity. And even today we know of certain religions in the world, and we can think of them right off the cuff, that have these marks about them. Brand marks. I am devoted and faithful and true to my religion, those brand marks are in effect saying. The brand marks of the Lord Jesus were on the body of Paul the Apostle, answering to each of the categories we have mentioned. They identified him as the slave of Jesus Christ. So in Philemon 1 and verse 1, he's able to say, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. There were the marks of shame and reproach in the eyes of the world that Paul was bearing. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 22, he says, To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. So marks to say he was a slave of Christ, the mark of shame and of reproach in the eyes of the world. There were the brand marks on Paul as being a soldier of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 4 and 7, he declares, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there were, of course, the marks of devotion and fidelity about his life. And so in 2 Corinthians 5 and the verse 14, he was able to say, For the love of Christ constraineth me. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. But what were the actual marks that he's talking about here? They were the bodily stars, blemishes that he had suffered as a result of persecution that he had endured through faithfulness to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a wonderful passage over in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, the verse 23 through to the verse 28, and there Paul gives a description of the physical sufferings that he had endured. We'll just pick five different kinds of suffering out here. In 2 Corinthians 11, the verse 23, he says, In prisons, more frequent. We know why he was in Philippi in Acts 16, the verse 23, and another reference in Ephesians 3 and 1. In verse 23 of 2 Corinthians 11, he talks about in deaths, oft. And oftentimes he was exposed to death. It seems certain that on one occasion at least, he was actually right on the very point of death. Acts 14, 19 and 20, and we could compare 2 Corinthians 12, 1 to 4. Verse 24 of our verse here, or this section of the Jews, he says, Five times received I 40 stripes, save one. And he refers here to that long leather strap that was divided at its end into thongs. And there on each end of those there were stones attached and pieces of metal and pieces of bone. And when that lash came down upon him, his back would quickly be lacerated and torn. Verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. And we know that this method of punishment was used on Paul and Silas when they were in Philippi, Acts 16 and the verse 22. In verse 25 he says, Once was I stoned. Large boulders they would have used then. Sometimes as large as the man throwing them could possibly lift and turn, and they'd be thrown at the victim until his body was reduced to a pulp. And so we can say here, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, the brand marks of loyalty to Christ. They were on his bodily frame. When we reflect on that, it pretty much puts us to shame. Most of us are content to be popular Christians. And sometimes it really does matter to us if the world speaks against us when we tell them again of Christ, and we take it as a matter of personal hurt, and we would hardly want to be volunteering to say, right, Paul, you're going on a missionary journey again, you're going into a hard place, and these terrible things that befell you are going to happen again. Well, we'll go with you because we're volunteering for the same kind of afflictions and reproach and rebuke and suffering, and we will be persecuted side by side with you for Jesus' sake. For many of us would have that spirit. We do well to remember, in the light of what Paul is saying here, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus, that many of the people of God today in lands right across the globe are suffering much at the hands of men, and they're doing it for their Lord's sake. They're bearing today, as we meet here, in their body, the marks of the Lord Jesus. We need to pray that should ever we be called to suffer shame for his name and go through the fiery furnace of persecution, that we would be given grace like them to be faithful even to the point of death. Revelation 2 and 10. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now that's the literal explanation as to what these marks were about. There's a spiritual application. And that's our second and final point as well. The description of these sufferings that Paul endured doesn't really sit true in our experience. It doesn't apply to us, at least not yet. But there is a spiritual application that applies to all of those who bear the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul had physical marks. But there must be those spiritual signs in our lives that identify us with Jesus Christ. We are his slaves. We are his property. We are his soldiers. We are his followers. What are those marks? Well, if we stay in the vicinity of our text here tonight in the book of Galatians, we could go back into the previous chapter, chapter 5 of Galatians, look at verse 22 and the verse 23, where we read, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now these are preeminently the features of the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the marks of his life. These are the fruit of his mighty Spirit. And we, being united to him by faith, these fruits are to characterize our lives. So there's a cluster of fruit. One of the marks, or several of the marks, that identify us with Jesus Christ. You'll notice in Galatians 6 and the verse 1, the emphasis is on a spirit of meekness. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Now meekness has already appeared in the list of the fruits of the Spirit in verse 23 of Galatians chapter 5. But here again, the beginning of the next chapter, it's underlined again. And the reason why it is because it's a very important characteristic of a real Christian. And so it's given special and separate emphasis here in chapter 6 in the verse 1. The opposite of meekness is also underlined in chapter 5 and the verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vain glory. The apostle is saying, don't be proud. The very same message was hammered home by our Lord Jesus Christ when he said in Matthew 11 and verse 29, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Another mark that we should bear that evidences our attachment to Christ. The fruit of the Spirit, a spirit of meekness predominantly here. Then in Galatians 6 and the verse 2, there's a willingness to share the burdens of others. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. If we are following him, reflecting him in the world, we'll not be so wrapped up in our own affairs that we'll be unconscious of anybody else's burdens and trials. We'll be in there with a willingness to help them along. In Galatians 6 and 6, a willingness to help support those who minister. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Another mark of the Lord Jesus. Then there's a life that is comprised of doing good. Galatians 9, 6, the verse 9 and the verse 10. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who were of the household of faith. Oftentimes we slate good works, but we only slate it when someone is coming along in an unsaved, unregenerate state and trying, by their supposed good works, to climb their way into heaven by a way that God has not endorsed. But once we are converted, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, then verse 10, we are his workmanship, and we are to follow the pattern of good works unto those round about. And again, that is emphasized here in Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. It was a characteristic of our Lord's life. We read about it in Acts 10, verse 38. Our Lord Jesus Christ went about during the days of his flesh doing good. That's a mark that should be present in our lives too. Another mark is found in Galatians 6 and the verse 14. A separation from the world. Paul says, as he concludes that verse 14, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. If we're living for Christ, the world loses its attachment. It loses its lure. We're able to fight against it, resist its temptations, turn it back. Fulfill the prayer of our Lord for us in John 17. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. And Paul here talking about the world being crucified unto me and I unto the world. He's emphasizing this complete separation from the world that is a mark of his life. And then, of course, in the earlier part of verse 14, another mark, that of a glorying in the cross. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. What does he mean when he talks about glorying in the cross? His heart rejoices when he hears the preaching of the cross. His soul is thrilled when he contemplates the work of the cross, when he thinks of the value of that work, the victory of that cross, the virtue that is in it, that it is through the cross of Jesus we are saved and sanctified. Therefore, in this he glories. What did the cross mean to Christ himself? In what sense did he glory in it? That cross was a token of God's will for him, and he gloried in doing the will of his Father. I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. That's why he came, and that supremely should be the mark upon each of his followers. The will of God, the consuming passion of the life of Jesus Christ, Luke 22 and 42, it should be the consuming passion of your life and mine. I bear, cries Paul, in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Physically, they were there. Spiritually, they were also there. And at least spiritually, may they be seen in our lives, that we, evidencing the fruit of the Spirit, exercising a spirit of meekness, showing that willingness to share the burden of others and support those who minister, to generally do good, especially to those in the household of faith, show that separation from the world and that glory in the cross, that concentration upon the will of God, may we then be able to say, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus.